In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Over the past few weeks, beloved of the Lord, Christ has gone about teaching us, his beloved, about his kingdom through parables. And what a parable is a story to compare one thing to another. And so in that sense, it is a simile, right? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like wheat and tares and so forth. And what we have today are the final parables of the kingdom of God that Christ teaches. And the last is about judgment. And the first two, however, stand out because they're not so much about the members of the kingdom. Right? They're chiefly about the king of this kingdom. And my goodness, we need to hear about the king of this kingdom because we so often forget who this king is and what he's done for us. I think it's human nature, at least it's mine anyway, to always want to be the main subject of the parable, right? And kind of have the lead role and it all be about me, right? To put ourselves as like the man who finds and buries the hidden treasure, the man who finds the pearl of great price. That is not the case with these parables. Something different is going on, right? We are not the main subject, and at the end of it, we just have to get used to it, to not being the subject of every single thing. Right? The world looks at these parables as these things that, like, they can accomplish. Right? If they just give it the old college effort, if they just try hard enough. And so they believe that when the Lord was teaching the lawyer, right, that the way to heaven was to go and to do the law by being nice to people. Right? Those who refuse to be weak, those who refuse to be desperate and refuse to be in need are not those people that Jesus has come to save. The people that he has come to heal and to help. And so those are the people who cannot hear this parable. They cannot hear it and they cannot believe it. And they don't know what it is to be of great worth. Because the way that their itching ears hear this parable is that they can in fact do what is called to be done in the parables. Have we called an ambulance yet? Okay. Is there anyone here with any medical training? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. Good and gracious Father, we beseech you on behalf of our dear sister and your beloved daughter, Judy, that you get her the help that she needs, that you heal her according to the mercy that you bear for your people. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And so what they think they ought to do then with this particular, these parables in particular, is that they've got to go out and they've got to purchase it with all that they have, right? They've got to go out and go after it. They're going to give up everything that they own so that they would buy it with their piety. They would buy it with their vision boards and their purpose-driven lives and on and on and on, right? Fill in the blank. Whatever you need to do that you think you can do to purchase this thing of great value. You see, they don't get it. They don't get it. In fact, that understanding, the way the world reads this, is exactly backwards from the way that it is. Right? Because the hardness of their hearts and their refusal to repent causes the gospel to be and to remain hidden from them. Because the gospel is not, it is not, and it never will be, that this treasure or this pearl is Christ or it's his kingdom that we can purchase for ourselves. Right? The field where the treasure is hidden. It is not the Bible and it is not the sacred scripture. It is not the sacraments. What is the field? The field is the cemetery of dry bones of Adam's race, buried, buried. And the man who finds it and digs up these rotten corpses and loves them, who gives them everything to possess them and resurrect them, is Christ, the Savior of the world. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, he says. Do you know what you are? You are that treasure in the field that Christ finds. You are so precious to him that he has bought you with great cost, laying down even his life and spilling his blood to purchase you. Not with silver, not with gold, but the blood of God. With it you have been pulled up out of death and into life. The grave has lost its victory over you. So that's the first one. The second one, there is this merchant. And he comes on this unusual pearl, one that he considers within himself for some reason or another to be particularly beautiful, and one that he esteems to be of great value. And the merchant very much desires to have this pearl. And so he sets his face toward it. And we're told that he gives all that he has in order to purchase it. And so it becomes his. Now this parable of this pearl of great price, it is also unique. Because it's one that's one of the most misinterpreted parables of the kingdom. Because the bad reading of this parable goes like this, right? That the pearl represents Jesus Christ, and then the merchant is a sinner who sells all that he has in order to purchase the kingdom and salvation and become a part of it. Well, why is this not right? Well, for several reasons, but chiefly, people outside of the kingdom aren't searching for Jesus Christ, right? The Bible is perfectly clear on that matter. Right? Rather, Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. Right? It would be nice as if every Sunday, rain or shine, people, the lost, were just coming in from out of the world and busting down the doors of the church. But they have never done that, they still don't, and they never will. This is, in fact, why Christ sent out the apostles. But this marks the difference between Christianity and every single other religion that has ever existed, right? All of the nation's religions, right? All of the religions of the world have man reaching up to God, right? Reaching up and striving for God and saying, what can I do? How can I save myself? What does Christianity have? Christianity has God reaching down to us. Has God himself coming to us to love and to save us. This is the chief difference between ours and every other religion in the world. St. Paul says very plainly in Romans chapter 3 of the fallen world, he says, there is no one that understands. There is no one that seeks after God. Period. So in this wrong interpretation of the parable, right, the merchant, right, or you or me, seeks after and buys the pearl, right? We buy the kingdom in some way or another. But we know, or at least we should, that neither Christ nor his kingdom can be bought. What does a sinner have that is valuable enough that he can sell it and have enough money to buy Jesus Christ? Right? The merchant in this parable, as much as we may want to be the main character of the story, is not us. It's not the sinner. The main character is the merchant, who is Jesus Christ the King. And so what makes this parable different then is that it tells of the King of this kingdom. Jesus is the one who comes and seeks and saves what is lost. He is the one who gives all that he has to purchase this pearl. And I'm going to end it right there, because I'm going to go see Judy off. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.